back to Happy Porch Radio, the podcast for ambitious agency leaders. This season is all about Umbraco, the friendly CMS. Join your host, Barry O'Kane, as he talks to web agency leaders and Umbraco experts about the challenges and opportunities that a specific technology like Umbraco brings to our agencies.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Porch Radio Season 2. Season 2 is all about Umbraco, the friendly CMS, and in this episode we are talking community. As web agencies, we make extensive use of open source tools to help our and our clients' businesses succeed. And one of the most intriguing aspects of successful open source projects, like Umbraco, is the vital part that community plays. And personally, I am very interested in the huge effort that many individuals put into supporting and growing these communities. So this week, I am delighted to be speaking to two stalwarts of the Umbraco community, Ravi and Warren. First up is Warren, who has been involved with Umbraco pretty much from the start. Warren shares his story and the genesis of YouHangouts, which was, and hopefully soon will be again, an awesome platform for the Umbraco community.
Okay, so I suppose this is a longish story, but my background in web development comes from an early love of computers. My dad came home with a computer one time, and ever since then, so I was around 10 or so, ever since then I was always fascinated by computers. So my goal was that when doing work experience in the UK, so that time of year when you're kind of leaving school, kind of looking to go to college, I wanted to do something with web development or more web design at the time. So I found a local company where I was living, and there was a web design agency. And I found out very quickly that web design is a lot harder to get into than, say, programming, because programming, it either works or it doesn't, where design is obviously very kind of subjective. I mean, I found that pretty hard to deal with at the time. So that was kind of my first foray, and I was lucky ever since, really. I had done a college course when I was straight out of high school, and the work experience place where I was at high school, they took me on part-time around my college course. So literally, since I've left high school, I've been lucky to work in the kind of web agency land. Obviously, I was a junior in this agency, and at any time around, so this is early 2000s, at any web agency you would have gone to, every agency was building their own CMS. So this web agency was relatively small. So there was only four of us, and I was kind of junior dev. The lead developer all of a sudden left overnight, and the CMS that he wrote or built was obviously all in his head. There was no documentation, there was no nothing. So we was kind of stuck. So we panicked, or I panicked more to speak, because obviously we had new clients coming in, and I was Googling for kind of free CMS on the Microsoft stack, because we was using the Microsoft stack, and one that come up at the time was Umbraco. So me being a junior dev, I was looking for a CMS that basically I had a community or a group of people that I could ask for help. So if something went wrong or was breaking, I could go, look, help, I don't know what I'm doing, come help me, or why is this breaking, or why is this not working? So that was kind of my first dip in the toe with Umbraco, and that was in its very early days when it was version 2 something, so that's probably coming up maybe 9-10 years, maybe. This is just guessing off the top of my head now because it's been so long. It was when the days when forums wasn't really around, you would talk with Yahoo mailing groups. So you would send emails back and forth trying to get answers. And the occasional you might get a response from Niels himself and going, hey, this is how you should do it. You should fix it like this. So yeah, that was kind of my early foray into Umbraco. And ever since then, I've either jumped around from different agencies who specialize in working with Umbraco. And then it's probably 5 years ago, I joined the HQ for the first time, dealing with Code Guardian and kind of the annual Umbraco Developer Conference and onboarding. So trying to get new users onto the Umbraco platform and kind of writing documentation and tutorials and things like that. I stepped away from the HQ for a little bit and went back to agency land for 3 years, which was good. It's nice to get a perspective from kind of, yeah, how agencies or how I suppose our end customers use Embraco day to day. And then last year, is it now? Yeah, year and a half. Yeah, just over a year ago, I rejoined the HQ under the development team. So main kind of focus is on Embraco Forms, but it's more just covering the core of the Embraco products, Courier, and the Embraco Cloud as a platform. So we do a lot of development work to make the product run day to day. So that's the background. I know it was kind of long and lengthy. Hopefully I haven't bored you too much, Barry.
Not at all. No, not at all. And I think that's really interesting. I don't think I've heard you talk about that sort of thing on new Hangouts and things that I've watched. So it's interesting to hear the background. Is that kind of love affair with Embraco something that happened instantly? You know, you discovered it back in that situation where you needed a CMS. Was it a conscious decision that you said, okay, this is what I'm going to keep working with? Or has that just kind of happened?
I think it was a conscious decision. One, because in the early days when I suppose I was learning a lot, so I was probably kind of annoying probably in the early days, asking a lot of questions in terms of how does this work? Why does this not work? And in the response that I got back was always helpful, always someone that was able to give me a polite and friendly response. With that kind of feedback, it just, my passion or my love for it grew. If the responses were more kind of Stack Overflow based, where, oh, why don't you get this? This is so obvious. And maybe I might have steered away and found another platform. But I think the community or the people behind it and the people that use it has kind of motivated me to kind of stay and I suppose dedicate my entire career to it.
Is that something that you think has changed at all, or as the community's grown and the platform's extended and continues to grow?
I think it's obviously, as any community gets bigger, there's obviously going to be teething problems with things like that. But I think the core community of people, so people on like the R and Braco forum and the community in terms of helping one another, the kind of the people that show up time and time again will always give kind of a friendly response if someone's frustrated or doesn't know how to kind of resolve a problem. I know as corny or cliche as it does sound, yeah, I do think we are the kind of the friendly community in comparison to other communities that I have been involved with. So yeah, I think we're doing a very good job in terms of trying to keep that friendly and helpful atmosphere in the community as best as we can.
So I'm interested in how things like you Hangouts came about and how that has impacted or changed your experience and interactions with the community.
So things like, I suppose, back in the early days, it was always kind of package development. So the very first thing that I built was a starter kit, because at the time, Embraco didn't really have many. I wanted to kind of build a package or a starter kit that just showcased what Embraco could do. And then I kind of got the bug for it. It was nice to get feedback from the community to say, yeah, this is good. This is a nice, useful way for me to get started. And it was nice to hear from other people as well. I've used this starter kit, or I've used this tool or whatever that you've built to help me get started into Embraco. And that's always really rewarding to hear that I've kind of managed to either inspire or help someone get started their journey with Embraco. And it's always nice to really hear that and get that feedback. But things like you Hangout, that come about just because I was bored during lunch break, basically, and I had an hour or so, and I was always just sitting at my desk and was like, right, what am I going to do for an hour after eating lunch? So, the idea just come about. There was a lot of people in the community building and making great stuff, and it was always hard to kind of keep on top of all these packages that were coming out. So the community's growing and growing and growing. But keeping on top day to day, near enough day to day, a new package would come out. And I just wanted to speak to these other Embraco developers and kind of understand why they built their tool or package and kind of what motivated them, and get them a chance to kind of demo and showcase it to maybe a little bit of a wider audience. So yeah, that's why you Hangout come about.
What is your thoughts on the future of Embraco?
I think, so Embraco Cloud is in its infancy, so to speak, really. I know it's been out for a year or two now, but I think we're going to see that grow exponentially, in my opinion. I think when you decide to build an Embraco project, I think the initial thing is that, oh, I just use Embraco Cloud, and it just so that all of your pains and worries about dealing with upgrades and maintaining things, having two environments, syncing content between the two. Yeah, I think that is going to drive the company. And I think Embraco is just going to become more popular in the land of choices of when agencies are choosing a CMS. I'd like to think that it becomes more and more the number one choice for picking a CMS. So yeah, I'd love to see where we are in 5 years' time. Hopefully bigger, better, stronger, faster.
Cool. So just finally, is there any, if any listeners want to check out stuff you've done or find out more about things like YouHangouts, what links should we share?
Okay, so YouHangout is youhangout.co.uk. It was, and I hope to bring it back. It was a weekly-ish show and tell about Embraco packages. But yes, it will re-kick off soon. In regards to any kind of Embraco packages or projects, best thing to do is check out GitHub. So github.com/Warren Buckley. And then just always keep an eye on Embraco.com. Anything new and exciting that we do as a company, you'll always see the latest posted there.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Next, we speak to Ravi, who is one of the key people behind the London Embraco community and the regular meetups there. Ravi shares his personal story, and then we really dig into the challenges of running a regular community meetup. This is an incredibly valuable insight into how to start and improve a community meetup. So let's meet Ravi.
My name's Ravi Motha. I'm a web developer of 20-odd years. I started using Embraco about 7 years ago. I was actually a certified developer in another number of different CMSs, including Sitecore. I moved jobs, and one of the roles I went into, they had chosen Embraco as the CMS of choice for their systems. And as a result, I got to go along, find out a little bit more about it. I got trained up, and at that point, I took a bit of a decision and I said, well, there seems to be this little community around it. I will get myself involved in that. And that's sort of why in, over the last sort of 6-7 years, I have sort of moved myself more into that space.
And so you sort of use past tense when you say certified for, you know, in Sitecore and other CMSs. Is that because you don't work with them at all anymore, or?
I tend to be, it's either doing Embraco or just doing straightforward sort of .NET type things. And a lot of places, they're sort of looking for that one sort of channel, very specialized type thing. So I was Sitecore certified. I was then at one point, I was actually both Sitecore and Embraco certified. But since then, with the way I've chosen to push my path, no, I haven't had to, apart from like the odd time where I've had to dip in, use Sitecore. So I've let my certification lapse in that. I haven't really done that much Sitecore for that 7 years. I did one thing. I have used other CMSs like .NET Nuke, Kentico, Tridion, Immediacy in that intervening period, but not long enough compared to Embraco.
And I know you're heavily involved in the community, but is that, and you mentioned community earlier, is that, how big a factor was that in you sort of saying, I'm going to work in Embraco, or was it more sort of, it just sort of happened with work and the work that you started doing in the companies you were working for?
It's a little bit of both. So, as I said, when I first started, the decision to choose Embraco had already been made. So I thought, with this little community there, I've been part participant in other tech communities, which are traditional in the sense of they're very much, hey, here's a speaker, here's where you are, and there's not really that great interaction. and I found this little meetup group, and I thought, here's a great way to find out a little bit and learn a bit and potentially meet contacts, you know, whether it was for hiring or whatever it was. And over the time, that's actually become something of a driving force, in the sense that I have taken over running the community and things like that. But at the time, it was purely sort of an organic decision, and it sort of, in many ways, it's actually paid me back, because a number of the jobs that I've had have come through knowing people through that community.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions. If you see the community as a purely as a learning, you know, friendly contact, or if it's also a place, you know, to in terms of networking and getting work and all that kind of stuff.
Like I said, when I first started, I was looking at it as both. I think, in many ways, the best thing I did was use it just as both a social tool and a learning tool. Because then, you know, you're not sort of going, oh, I wonder who you... You're just actually going in and saying, oh, hi, you are, right, you're the guy who did this, or you're the girl who did that. Oh, it's nice to meet you, and just chat. And, you know, things have grown very organically. And I can now like to say there's quite a few people who I consider good friends as part of that group.
How did the move from being part of the community and then sort of, you know, and socially more and more part of it, until the point where now you're relatively embedded and organizing and playing a, you know, more, I guess, a leadership role?
Yeah, that was purely organic and accident. So it was originally set up and run by a company called Cogworks, as part of their way of giving back to the community, on top of what they do with the annual Umbraco Festival, UK Festival. I ended up working at Cogworks for a short period of time, and while I was there, I just sort of de facto say I'd be going along, but I ended up sort of representing them. But then one year, someone suggested the idea we should have a Christmas party, and then I got made assistant organizer, and off the back of that, and then just being someone who was there, I ended up sort of doing little bits of the organization, and then more of the organization, then now it's all mostly with me and my partner in crime, Lottie Pitcher, and a sort of little band of others, including Cogworks as well.
And so, and when you say that, like organizing, it's the meetup, or is it also things like UK Fest, or
two very separate entities? They were originally part of the same sort of whole, in the sense that they were organized or founded by Cogworks, but they're now sort of distinct entities, in the sense that my idea of the meetup is it's very much part social, the idea being come along, find out and meet these people, and find out that the guy who wrote Package X, which you use all the time, is a lovely guy who you can actually just sit and chat to. And, you know, without the necessary thing of he stands up on stage, he does a talk, or you can't interact with them. So the idea partly being smaller spaces and things like that. And also just as a general way of sort of like socializing as a group, because, well, you know, some would say as technical people, sometimes we're not the best at doing that.
Do you think there's differences between, in your experience, between that sort of meetup in the Umbraco community versus other tech communities?
There can be. Like I said, I've been to quite a few sort of tech meetups, and there's a sort of expectation, I suppose, that comes with size and things like that, in the sense that some of these big things, you know, you'll have like 60 to 100 people, or 40 to, you know, I'd say that medium to large size. And the idea of you as a punter being able to sit there and have eye contact with the guy who's doing the talk, or, you know, at the end of the talk saying, I have a couple of quick questions, which are small, but being actually having the facility to go and ask the speaker are rare in between. And then within that, You know, you can go on some of these forums, and sometimes if you ask what you consider, you know, a simple basic question just about setup, people will sort of go, oh, that's such a noob question, or I can't believe you're asking it in the wrong forum, or you're asking it here, or, you know, there's so many rules around it that you sort of, a lot of people get discouraged by those things. So I suppose part of the ethos of our meetup, which is slightly different from, say, the Umbraco in Bristol or the other meetups, is we're trying to sort of balance both a bit of learning and a bit of socialising, doing it monthly, which is a bit of a challenge in itself, but then also trying to find different ways and sort of keep evolving.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you. I don't know if you remember, but at Code Garden last year, I was part of a group and we were talking with Carol in Glasgow about the challenges of and different ways to organise meetups and so on. And one of the things you mentioned was that sort of, one, the challenge of doing something on a regular monthly basis, but also of doing varying or changing or doing different things. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. So, fortunately now, I suppose, there's a number of different articles which have been written on Scrift, which is the Umbraco's sort of community magazine. I wrote one. There's another one which is sort of, I suppose, a more bullet-pointed version of what I said, written by Heather Floyd. But essentially, we talked about the struggles of sort of setting up a meetup. Now, one of the things was, and I think this goes to things like the guys who are starting up in Cardiff or Derby and Poland. You've got to find your own local flavour. You've got to understand what works for that. Now, I don't necessarily think by taking the London model and just transposing it directly to the US model it would work. You know, geographies and other things would just get in the way. So you have to sort of be able to sort of be flexible enough to sort of say, well, if I've just chosen to be in this part of London, am I shutting off the other part of London? Or by putting it in, for example, in a pub, I know that means there's a number of people who on religious grounds won't be able to come along. So I've sort of chosen to fight these fights in a slightly different way, in the sense that I want to get a good set of solid base, hopefully get to a point where we have a solid core of people who are willing to come along. Then we can sort of try, you know, whether it's talks, going to different people different offices to do different types of talks, giving those guys an opportunity to do part selling, part educating. So, you know, say, hey, here we are, and, you know, you can sort of pitch yourself a little bit, because, you know, even just by the act of searching for a job within Umbraco in London, you'll discover there's a lot more agencies, or I did anyway, there are a lot more agencies around, but people just sort of keep to themselves. So it's a case of how do you bring those guys in. And so that's part of the idea of trying to find different ways to get those, whether it's location based, whether it's talk based, whether it's doing something fun, a little, you know. One of the things we did recently was we helped promote the new Umbraco X or Umbex workshop, which is to do with load balancing. It's called Bear the Load, and it's an Azure workshop run by the guys at Crumble Dog. So we helped sort of cross promote it, and that's sort of where I see what Umbraco London is. It's part promotional, part learning, part social. I know that seems like I'm spreading it a bit thin, but I think it's the best way to try and bring more people in. And obviously, by bringing more people in, we can do other things. You know, maybe at some point, maybe even try and get to a point of doing a hackathon.
I think that's really laudable and makes a lot of sense as well. In a way, I don't know if spreading the thin's the right word, but a way to, because you've got those different focuses, it actually attracts people and attracts the people that you want part of the community as well. The right mix of people, I mean.
So again, you know, I'd rather sort of spread it and find out where we're at, what people like. So one of the first ones we did, where we sort of had a bigger office, which was through the guys at Zone, and they offered to videotape it and stream it live. So this is something we're looking at going forward, especially for the larger talks where we have either external speakers or, you know, we're in an office space where, you know, we can control the noise and things like that a bit better. So that's something we're looking at as the next stage in evolution.
That's pretty exciting. So, but I want to go back to something else you said earlier on about growing monthly and the challenges. And I'm thinking about anybody listening who is maybe part of or trying to grow or trying to even to start like a meetup or a community of some sort. What are the difficult parts? What are the challenges you're talking about?
So they come to the in three parts. One is promotion, stability, and location. Promotion is the easiest part in the sense that there are now so many channels, it's just getting the word out. But within that, it's trying to get the word out to a large community, because if you're essentially broadcasting into an empty space, and then you're hoping that people will then sign up through a mechanism of some kind, whether it's Facebook, Eventbrite, or what we use is Meetup. So we can then, we know we have some people who will know about this event and hopefully will sign up, which helps us in the sense that we can then go into the second part, which is location. And depending on the size, this is part of the struggle. To start with, most of your meetups will be small, you know, we're talking about 10, 15 people. And to be quite honest, that's pretty good going. Growth beyond that is tough. Because you'll have solid, ideally what you want to do is you get a solid core and then the numbers will go up and down. But that means you can then estimate and book space or rooms or whatever it is, or find locations which will work for you. Now, obviously, for different places, there's different geographical concerns. So, say for example, in Bristol by comparison to London is relatively small. So, for they pick a pub or an office in Bristol, most people in and around Bristol can get there relatively easily. Whereas if I choose a location in, say, South London, that will exclude a lot of people from Northwest London who will go, oh, I don't want to have to go to South London and then all the way home back to North London. So I'm chopping off a certain number of people. So this comes back to the last part, which is sort of stability. Once you get stability in the sense of, you can define stability in two ways. One is the number of people, and the other one is consistency. So since I wasn't the original founder, they decided to do it once a month, and it was, you know, they'll have some talks, sometimes it'll be social, maybe they'll just sort of mix it up, and it, we wouldn't know exactly what, but we knew we had a set date. The dates actually moved around a little bit, so sometimes it was Tuesday, but now we've sort of settled on the second Thursday of every month, unless apart from January, which is just too close to Christmas and New Year for most people, so we sort of wipe that one off the slate. But that means people at least know roughly when it is, and they can sort of mentally go, I must remember that's when that is, and it'll just go in the memory banks, and it'll be part of their routine. So that, those are the big things. Within that, it's things like on a day-to-day basis or a month-to-month, if you're doing it month-to-month, work will sometimes conflict. So if you're the sole organiser, you'll find you'll have to cancel, or you'll just have to sort of hope that people turn up and recognise each other, which is harder than it sounds. So usually, you know, you need to get like a little team of three, ideally. That usually means that one principal who will be there the majority of the time and two others who can cover or help out when you need to.
Does that become onerous? Is that something that are you able to spread the load, or do you find that it does rely on you a lot?
I personally don't find it onerous. The only thing that I struggle with is space, because our audience can be anywhere between 15 and 40. So obviously with the bigger events, that's why I try and space them out. So I have a chance to contact an office. We can make sure we've got the bigger space. We can then book two or three people, have them speak, and know that we're going to get, say, 30 odd people comfortably. Whereas the sort of social ones, we'll sort of try and keep smaller. You know, we'll back rooms of pubs where, you know, it won't cost us anything, but people can come along, chat, you know, throw up an informal demo sometimes, things like that. So, you know, we try and keep it loose. The idea is we want to keep the bar low so that people who may not always do talks at festivals or whatever have a platform to go, well, I've got this little thing and I want to show you, you know, in a nice safe environment.
Thanks, Ravi. I really appreciate your time. So a very, very final question. If people, particularly people in London, want to find out about the meetup or potentially if there's anywhere they can reach out to yourself, are there any links or information that I can share?
Yeah, the Umbreco London meetup is the second Thursday of every month, and that happens to fall this Thursday, the 9th of March. This one is a social one. The next one, we're just in talks to make sure we've got the office and the speakers. Channels to sort of follow that are Twitter. It's UMB London. We'll have a website coming soon, but you can sign up to be notified about the meetup at meetup.com and just search for Umbreco in London. I can be found on Twitter hiding behind my real name, Ravi Motha.
You can get all the links and notes from this episode on happyporchradio.com. If you enjoyed the show, please spare a moment to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks for listening.